Let's turn to this evening to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to be reading from verse 4 through verse 18. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 18. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So tonight we are focusing our attention upon how we hear the word of God. This is so important, how we hear the word of God, because it is what we are all coming to do. It is what we've all come to do tonight. It is what we came to do this morning, was to hear, was to hear the word of God. So I would ask you tonight, are you listening? Are you listening? This account of the parable of the sower in Luke starts off by telling us that Jesus was addressing a lot of people in verse 4. "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable." There was much people that were there. We have here in this passage rules, cautions, exclamations, applications, all for hearing the word of God. Jesus' disciples were curious of the sower. They were curious as to just what this parable meant. Verse 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be? You and I also should be anxious to know what the word of God that we are hearing is saying." A further explanation of it. What is the meaning of the text, just as we are looking tonight? Why? That we might not be mistaken or defective in our knowledge. Because let's face it, heaven and hell are at stake here. We don't want to make any mistakes concerning this. In verse 10, Jesus begins to let his disciples know what a great advantage that they had to acquaint themselves with and to know the meaning of the Word of God. Verse 10. And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Jesus is saying this to his disciples. "But to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." So there were two classes of people that were going to hear the Word of God. There were going to be those that understood the Word, that understood the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and there were going to be those that stood right beside them, that heard with their ears but had no understanding of what he was speaking about. There were going to be those that were standing there that could see, but they were blind to the truth. "Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." I find this verse to be definitely a very challenging verse and a frightening verse, to say the least. "Unto you it is given." And if you find yourself among this number, you need to be very thankful and know and understand that this is a privilege, especially when there might be others that would be sitting or standing next to you, that this is nothing more than a parable and have no meaning whatsoever. I know that I work with a group of people that never, ever open the Word of God. They would look at this and have no idea what this is saying. You look at this and it puts a smile on your face. It puts a song or a psalm in your heart. And you're very thankful for the Word of God. That's a privilege. Others are going to hear this, and others heard this. This is Jesus, mind you, much people were gathered together and were come out of every city, and he, Jesus, spoke this parable. Now, wouldn't you think, wouldn't it be our, humanistically speaking, if we were to say, if we could only today, and I used to think this early on after I had first come to the knowledge of the truth, I used to think, how could we possibly get and fill the stadium and have the same thing that was told to me told to 50,000 people at one time? Most certainly, they would be converted. That's what I used to think. This is the Lord Jesus that is speaking here. He's the one that is preaching. Wouldn't you think that if Jesus Himself, who is speaking without any error whatsoever, the perfect Word of God, that everyone would be converted? But that's not so, because it's not given to everyone to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so, that is why we should be so thankful if we do understand the Word of God. It's a privilege. While we're brought into the light, others are left in darkness. And the interesting thing is, they don't realize it. They don't realize that they're in darkness. Happy are we if the same thing that we hear is to others only a parable. While to you and I, it may be the plain truth of God. In this parable of the sower, the heart of man is the soil. And God's Word is the seed. And it is the heart alone that is capable of receiving the seed. A heart that God has opened and that will be capable of bringing forth fruit. But first of all, the seed has to be sown. And that's what we seek to do here, is to give out the Word of God, to sow the seed of the Word of God. Because apart from the seed being sown, there's going to be no fruit. If I go home to my garden, and I look at my garden, and I say, that's such a beautiful garden, and the soil is all prepared, but if I don't put any seed in it, I can water it and water it and water it, and nothing is going to grow because nothing has been planted there. Our job is to plant the seed. The success of the seed that is sown is very much according to the nature and the temperament of the soil. And how it either is or is not disposed to receive the seed. Any garden book is going to tell you, while you may have the best seed, you better have good soil. Because apart from that, you're not going to produce good fruit. This point is so important. I want you to listen to what one of my garden books has to say. It's called Square Foot Gardening for Success. And I'm quoting from the book. This is the most important, productive, essential, necessary, critical, major subject, and is the backbone of the entire book and the square foot gardening method is the soil. The writer, and the writer's name is Mel, and he calls this mixture of the soil, Mel's mix, He says that this may be the most costly part of square foot gardening. Yet at the same time, it is the most cost effective. How can it be both? The answer, if you try to skimp on this item, you'll be disappointed in all of the rest. But if you do it right, all of the other advantages of the square foot gardening will fall into place, and you will be the richest gardener on the block. It all has to do with the soil that you prepare, what goes into that soil, everything that makes up that soil. And as he says, it may be costly at the beginning, but everything else that proceeds from that tiny, tiny seed that's sown in that soil will follow afterwards. Isn't that the Christian life in a nutshell? The foundation, as we're told in Matthew chapter 7, the foundation has to be right. And if it isn't, everything else is nothing more than a building on sand. And then when the trials come, your house is never going to stand. This is why when you and I come through those doors in the back of the church, we have to have the soil of our hearts prepared to hear the Word of God. And when we do, we're going to profit from the Word of God. And when that happens, we are going to have beautiful spiritual gardens. There's no doubt about it. Not only are you going to have a beautiful spiritual garden, you're going to be bringing forth some of the most beautiful fruit. This is why when Jesus was preaching that there were those that heard the word and loved it, and there were others at the same time that were taking up stones to stone him, that were hearing the same word, the same message hardens some and softens others. That is always going to be the case. Oh, that every time that we hear the Word of God, our hearts would be softened, and that God would open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of His Word. So as I come through those doors and I sit down and I prepare myself to hear the Word of God, I want all of my soil, the soil of my heart, I want it all loose, I want it all dug up, I want it freshly watered, and I want that seed just to be dropped in there, and then I want water on top of that, and I just want to just stand back and wait for the fruit that's going to be produced. So what is it when Jesus says here in verse 18, take heed therefore how ye hear? What is it to take heed how we hear? It is to be wakeful. It is to be attentive. It is to be very considerate. And it implies that we seriously ponder the Word of God and consider attentively its meaning and applications to ourselves. Here's what happens. Many times, people will say, I have pondered the Word of God. I have pondered over this for so long, and this is the decision that I've come up with. The problem is that they never made an application unto themselves, how it applied to themselves. That's what we need to do. As to the reasons why we should take heed to how we hear, because it's God that's speaking to us. Now, He may use an instrument. He may use an instrument, like I showed earlier. That's all we are. We're nothing more than instruments up here that's giving out the Word of God. But it is His Word. It's God speaking to us. And this is His chosen method to do that, through the preaching of the Word. It's God's, not ours. We're not making this up. If God had called a meeting and would be addressing everyone there audibly, wouldn't everyone just be standing with rapt attention, wanting to get just closer, that they would not miss one single word that would be said? That's how we would come to hear God speak to us audibly. And that is happening. Not God Himself, but God through His ordained ministers. That's how He speaks to us. God is speaking to you and I just as if He had called you by name. Make no mistake about it. You and I should be taking heed how we hear the Word of God, because we must have a right understanding of the message. That's what His disciples were asking Him. Lord, what does this mean? What does this parable mean? We need to have a right understanding of the message because it's about heaven and hell. What if you are hearing the Word of God for the last time? After tonight, you would never come through those doors again. You would never be greeting one another, smiling, laughing, sitting under the preaching of the Word of God. You would never open your Bible again. You would never have that opportunity. That time is coming for each one of us at some appointed time, at God's appointed time. There will not be any mistake. He makes no mistakes. We came into this life at a specific God-ordained time, and we will exit this life at a specific God-ordained time. There will be a time when we will come for the very last time to hear the Word of God. It is paramount that we take heed how we hear, because we're going to step out of this life into eternity forever and ever and ever. We must hear with our hearts set on obedience. That means coming here with our hearts set like that. We must recognize that our hearts can become hardened by careless, inattentive hearing, and then declension begins to take us over like weeds in our garden if we're not tending to it. We also need to remember that we have an enemy, and that enemy is the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he's also more subtle than any beast of the field. And he makes it his business to hinder us from profiting from the Word of God that is preached. He takes the Word out of our minds. He takes the Word out of our hearts. And we become careless hearers. He seeks to keep us from believing and to make us not heed the Word of God when we read it or we hear it preached. He seeks to make us forget the Word, to direct our minds elsewhere. And as we read in verse 10, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand, lest they should believe and be saved. This is so fearful. Because they were up close and personal with the Lord Jesus. They were hearing the Word of God, but without any profit. Where the Word of God is heard carelessly, there is very often contempt for the Word of God and for the Word preached. Verse 5. The seed that was sown by the wayside. What happened to the seed that was sown by the wayside? It was trodden down. It is those that willfully shut their ears against the Word and trample it underfoot. They despise the commandment of the Lord. Those on whom the Word makes only a slight impression, but those impressions are not deep, they're not lasting, and will only show their hypocrisy when the first trial comes, because it is sown on a rock that has no soil at all. And these temptations to fall away can either come in two ways, from smiles or frowns. Smiles or frowns of the world. Then comes the thorns that choke the Word that is sown in our hearts. And this temptation comes through, as we see in the Gospel of Mark, where the same parable of the sower is given in Matthew and Mark. But in Mark, he says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in. And this is not merely a reference to lust of a sexual nature, but even those things that are lawful. And this is where the Christian really needs to take heed. That something that is lawful does not take our heart and take our heart away from the Word of God. Because that can easily happen. So there is a fearful warning here not to think that merely because you are not carried away from some obvious error and apostasy, but that you still might be taken by some subtle means, even by that which is lawful. Also, it is not enough that fruit is brought forth. It must be brought forth to perfection. Now, what does that mean? It has to be fully ripened. And if it isn't, it is like there is no fruit at all. The account of the sower given in Matthew and Mark call this being actually unfruitful. unfruitful. While Luke calls it, in verse 14, no fruit to perfection. But then comes the good ground, the good soil. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. This is a person that is disposed to hear the word of God, that has an upright heart, that has a tender heart, a heart that trembles before the word of God. It's an honest and a good heart, which hears the word of God, understands the word of God, receives the word of God, and as the soil not only receives, but keeps the seed that is sown in it. According to verse 15, where the word is well kept, there will be fruit brought forth with patience. This is going to require a bearing patience, a waiting patience, a patience to suffer tribulation and persecution, which may arise because of the word. This brings us back to our verse in verse 18. Take heed therefore how ye hear. Now listen to what the larger catechism says regarding taking heed how we hear the word of God. It is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the Scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the Word of God. Meditate and confer of it. Hide it in their hearts and bring forth fruit of it in their lives. We can't pick and choose those things. We need to take them as a package. And that's how we need to come to hear the Word of God. That's how we need to take heed to ourselves, that we're coming with that frame of mind, that we come with due preparation, with prayer, attending upon the Word of God, coming through those doors, looking for a blessing from the Word of God, and seeking to go out, meditate upon the Word of God, and say, how does that apply to me? And if necessary, what needs to be corrected in my life to bring my life in harmony with the Word of God? Not to find fault with the Word of God, because when we find fault, that's really what we're doing. We're finding fault with God Himself, with the Word of God. It's when you come to hear the Word of God preached in such a manner that you're going to be blessed in the hearing of the Word of God. You're going to be stronger in the Lord and in the power of His might. You're going to be more fruitful. People are going to look at your life and they're going to look at your life like they look at a beautiful garden that has been cared for, that has rich, deep soil. And that seed has been planted in the soil and it's bringing forth beautiful fruit. It's going to be evident in your life. And you know what? It's going to be evident in your life when it's not. When that soil has not been properly prepared and taken care of. that is also going to be evident in your life. We need to take heed to those things that would hinder us from profiting from the word that we hear. To watch over our hearts in hearing. And take heed lest our own heart betray us. Take heed that we do not hear in a careless manner. Take heed that we do not entertain any prejudices against the word that we hear. Take heed to our frame of mind and spirit after we've heard the word of God. Lest we lose whatever that we have gained. And one of the fearful things that we are taught in Scripture is that the gifts that we have will either be continued to us or taken from us according as we do or do not make use of those gifts for the glory of God and for the edification of the church. Verse 18, grace that is lost is but seeming grace and was never true grace. Matthew Henry says that men do but seem to have what they do not use. So let me ask you, both young and old alike, as you come to church, both in the morning and in the evening, on Tuesday nights, on Wednesdays, are you listening? Are you listening to the Word of God? And are you listening to the Word of God with a properly prepared heart? Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, thank you, O Lord God, for this passage that we have looked at tonight. And we pray, Lord, that we would never come here the same again. That we would come here with the soil of our heart properly prepared and ready to receive the Word of God. And then to go out and profit from the Word of God. And to bring forth fruit with patience. Beautiful fruit. That we would care for our spiritual garden. That we would tend it. And that it might be to the glory and praise of your wonderful name, O Lord Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen.